AG1 is a comprehensive and convenient blend of over 70 high quality ingredients. And what that means is each morning when I wake up, before I do anything else, I drink AG1 to set me up for the day. It keeps me clear headed, full of energy and focused on whatever I need to do, like writing the fighting cock, for example. One scoop once a day before breakfast and that's it. I've actually found that I've not been needing coffee in the morning to get me started. I've still been drinking coffee because I love coffee, but it's not because it's like a necessity to do so. AG1 is made out of the highest quality ingredients subject to the strictest manufacturing standards. AG1 is NSF certified for sport, and this process involves exhaustive testing and verification that every serving of AG1 is exactly what you see on the label. If you want to take ownership of your health, try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D and 5 free AG1 travel packs for your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/thefightingcock. That's drinkag1.com/thefightingcock to get started. And to help the podcast. Thank you very much. Have a great day and enjoy the show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Does a robot know you like a neighbor?
Insurance Corporation will fulfill request to cover anyone, anything, anytime, anywhere, with most standard algorithm, in the order it was received. Please hold.
Robots don't know you. We do. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, getting the insurance coverage you need always starts with a conversation. Find a Farm Bureau agent at fbfs.com/protect. It's your future. Let's protect it.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting.
Carl, I do look at you in a studio with your mate doing your TV iPod and do get a bit jealous.
Yeah, man. It's
You're doing a lot at the moment. Like, you're being active and that.
I think, well, we're just doing it once a week in the studio, and it's, yeah, I think it's easier, isn't it? I find it easier going there when they just record it and they give us a file.
Yeah.
And that, all the hassle of doing it on Zoom and shit like that. I was getting so annoyed with Zoom. I just like going and sitting somewhere with a bloody coffee and having a laugh.
Yeah. People don't know, before we get into all the Tottenham football goodness, what is the TVI podcast and why should someone listen to it?
It's basically me and my mate Julian, who's another stand-up, and he's pretty filthy. So it's basically us just talking shit for an hour with a guest, and having a laugh.
He has a look. I hope I don't insult him. He's obviously never going to hear this, but he does have the look of someone who's just very interested in women.
Yeah. He's also one.
Not in a negative way. That made it sound like that wasn't. I wasn't using that as a saying that he was a pest. I said,
"Oh, you made me choke." Then
I always think. Have you ever watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
I haven't.
There's a character in that called Dennis. Who, like, as the series go on, they sort of keep dropping hints like he might be some sort of serial killer. he's always like, and with women, he's so creepy. I always think like Julian is. He's my mate. He's my mate who's most likely. To be the one that I end up on the news going, like, I just never knew.
We've got a friend like that.
Well, right, after three, do we name him? After three, Alex. Okay. One, two, three, Bardi. Yeah.
You reckon? Bardi enough times. He doesn't seem like a serial killer.
No, but...
The best ones, you'll never know.
You're right, actually. He does disguise it very well.
Yeah, look, it's not that we think he is a sex pest or a serial killer or anything like that, potential serial killer. But if it was going to be, if it was going to be one of us, it would be him. it'd be like you'd hear it. You'd hear the news, and you know, like on WhatsApp groups, be pinging off. Fuck, Buddy's he's just been nicked. And what for? He's presenting himself in front of you.
I know what'll happen.
And you'd be like, oh yeah.
I'm expecting the that knock at the door. I'll open the door and there'll be policemen there. They could be there for anything, but I know what they're there for. Yeah. And I'll just say to them, I say, I know.
What's he done? That's what you say, what's he done?
Yeah. You
quickly delete all communications you've had together.
What's he done now, the little serious sound?
He's killed someone. Oh, God, really? That's quite bad. Yep. Yeah, actually, I don't want to go further down that story. Let's just leave that there. Well, Alex, you've got a code word, haven't you, for if you die, or if you're dying, or about to die, and you somehow get a code word to us that activates a series of events, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm amazed you've remembered that.
Because it's one of the best things I've ever heard. So in the event of you having a road traffic accident or something, you're going to text us with a code word. What would that be?
Services,
right?
Services.
And then one of us has to rush to his laptop.
Yeah, there will be... sorry, I was just letting the dog in. There will be... Services is the thing, and then... So that you'll know, if I've text that word, it means that you need to go. Now. Yeah.
Right now.
So whatever you're doing,
laptop and an incinerator.
Yeah, whatever you're doing, just work, kids christening, doesn't matter. Get out.
Services. just randomly got services. Oh shit, it's happened. Alex is dead. Let's go. I've got a bit of breaking news for you.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Tottenham Hotspur have drawn Morecambe in the FA Cup.
Ooh. Nice.
Why didn't we ever get Bristol City?
fill you full excitement playing Morecambe?
That's a nice little seaside town, isn't it?
Give me a single Morecambe player, Carl.
I mean, that's not going to happen, is it?
Unfair to ask, really.
I don't even know what league they're in.
I didn't even know that they had a football team. I mean, most towns do, but it wouldn't have surprised me if they didn't.
We always end up with one of them. Do you remember we played that team where literally one side of the pitch backed onto people's gardens?
Yeah,
the ball goes into there, you have to fucking knock and get it back.
Yeah, and that was a complete waste of everyone's time, us playing them, wasn't it? Yeah. I mean, it's the magic of the FA Cup, but God, just give us a bye and fuck it off, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's about them, though, isn't it? They get a nice day out. You get a few quid in the pot. Sounds really patronising, doesn't it, when we talk about it like that? But
I think you're being disrespectful to the shrimps.
Very good.
Somebody just Wikipedia'd them.
I don't know what you're talking about, because if you're not going to be aware of people like Anthony O'Connor, Ryland, Delaney, and Andre Philippe da Silva Mendes, then I don't really know what we're doing.
He sounds good. The last one
sounds good because we all slightly racially profile footballers.
I bet. Yeah, if you had to racially profile him, what kind of player would you think?
Tricky
winger. He's definitely a tricky winger.
Good with both feet.
Very tricky winger. I don't like. You know when you see, like, there'll be inevitably a camera pointed at them in this shitty little clubhouse that they're all sitting in drinking lukewarm tea while they watch the draw come out.
Ex-miners club or something.
Yeah. And then their players will all be going mental. Wow, we got Tottenham away, boys! Tottenham away! Only for them to get slapped 8-0.
Is it at home?
By like the same by Harry Winks. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be
White Hart Lane. Whoa. Yeah, you're more going to come into town. They're going to play Dane Scarlett.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm jesting. We're just having a bit of fun. Enjoy it.
It's fun. I actually do like it. I like a lovely little fairy tale of the FA Cup.
Exactly. We're just being frothy.
Exactly. Yeah. It's also fun to stomp on their dreams.
Yeah. When we played against Marine, I was like, more. Score more.
Yes.
So we're like, when what's his name?
Vinicius, wasn't it?
He just smashed it in from 1 yard and then did his celebration against eighth level Marine. I was like, yes, more of that. Crush them. Ethel, who's watching, who's lived there for 90 years, is watching a big old Spurs. Crush her dreams.
Yes.
I think we should talk about the fact that Spurs, we're on the bloody up, boys. Not just up, I mean, hardly up. Carl, we haven't spoken to you certainly since Conte came in.
No.
I think you took a back step from following Spurs like we all did to some degree under Nuno.
I was always a bit more chilled about Nuno, even though it had gone shit and it clearly wasn't working. I still wasn't as unhappy as I was under Mourinho. So like, I always had a slight sense of, just objectivity about it. I didn't think it was going to work out by, the last month. And I knew it was going to sort of end badly, but I don't know. It wasn't as depressing as last season. So, but then at the same time, when they got rid of him, I didn't feel sad. Do you know what I mean? So I was like, all right, well, that obviously means it's like when a relationship ends and you actually don't grieve for it. You're like, we should have broken up a while back. So, I got excited when Conte came in. So I have definitely felt way more excited in the last, 6 weeks, whatever. It's I'm not dreading games, and I was dreading them under Mourinho because I hated the style of football. And with Nuno, I just felt like we were just we were just still shit, weren't we?
It was almost all the same, but he was a little more likable.
A bit more likable. Also, he felt like he'd taken over. He wasn't an experienced enough manager in that sort of size of a job to take over us in the state we were in. It could never have worked. Even though originally I was optimistic about it. I thought, this is what we need, someone who gives us a sense of, reality. You know what I mean? And it just went shit, and it was depressing. But I found, and the games were hard to watch, but I still weirdly wasn't hating it as much as Mourinho. But I was glad when it came to an end. It did feel like it did feel like going out with somebody who's nice and wanting it to end, but feeling guilty about them, and then it ends, and you're like, fucking good.
Yeah.
Now I can fucking really. I'm sick of Italian. That's what I want.
My life. That is literally my life now.
What's that?
Italian.
Just that cycle of you meet someone, you go, yeah, this is good, and then a couple of little things happen over the first few months, you go, it's still all right, and then something else happens, and you think, she does make a good soup or sandwich, or she does nice things for me.
I think in the modern era that you probably should have gone. you shouldn't have gone to straight to cooking. Probably should have anything.
Oh, well, yeah, but then, you know, you're thinking, this is fine. I can make this work. And then, I don't know, she shits herself during sex or something. You think, oh, is it in there?
Finally.
That's happened to me, by the way.
A
services.
all right, go on then, Alex.
What?
Jimmy, you can't just say it's happened to me and then not tell the tens of thousands of people watching, listening to this pod.
Having sex in a hotel room. And, I mean, this is long. This was, you know, well, before I was married, this is how long this ago was. But, yeah, just having sex and then she just, like, on top and then she, like,
oh dear,
came. And then she just stopped and looked at me and went, oh. I went, what? and then it slowly became evident what had happened, and she was like, oh, but she was like, I'm gonna have to ask my mates if anyone's ever came so hard that they chat themselves. And I was like, well, I'll tell you what the answer is now. No, obviously not.
Never
I had to
heard
bring
of that.
Down to the reception and ask for like new sheets and stuff. Was
what are you mental? I would have just
what could I do?
Put them in the bath. Slept
well, that's
on
what
a
you
naked
did, yeah.
mattress and then get out of there early doors in the morning.
I couldn't. This was my hotel. This was weird. I can't go into the details, but I couldn't. This was not like a weekend away.
Right.
He was living in there like Alan Partridge.
Yeah. I was there. There was nothing I could do. And I was sharing a room with someone else who wasn't there.
I would have thrown them out the window and called down and said, look, I'll just go back to my room and somebody's nicked my sheets. So you can have to send some new ones up.
And there's a little bit of shit in here. I don't know where it comes from.
Oh, and it also stinks of shit.
Yeah. I was like, she's been sick. So she's a bit embarrassed. Don't come and get it now. Don't come and collect it now. Just bring new sheets. Don't worry about it. We'll bring it down in the morning. But oh, like she's God. Embarrassed. I don't. Oh, honestly, it was. I look back now and think I didn't react like as horrified as I should have. Now, like at the time, I was like, it's fine.
And you're then, too. Like, that home, doesn't.
Got on the train, had like a 2.5 hour train ride home, got home, sat down, had a cup of tea, and then thought, fuck me.
Just cried.
Yeah.
Like crying in bottom
of the shower. That's a bottom of the shower. Like, sit yeah. down, get it out.
Yeah.
Suck in my bum.
Because you'd been shat on during sex. The thing I don't get my head around, the only time people actually involuntarily shit themselves is when they die.
She was pretty smashed, to be fair. It might have been that. Luckily, I mean, by some amazing feat of physics, none of it went on me. So,
oh, jeez, I feel a bit sick. anyway, let's talk. Can we talk about Spurs? So, yeah, pretty happy with the...
Didn't shit the bed yesterday.
Not very good. That's why you get Thanks. Paid the big bucks for the comedy and that. Yeah, if you don't know, Carl Donnelly is a... I say this every time, but you are an international comedian.
Yeah.
I.e., you earn money by going away and making people laugh. Is that right?
Yeah, well, it's my job. I do it here as well. I don't have to travel. I don't have to travel just to get paid. It's an option. Not like, I just cannot get paid here for it. I do it, but I also do it overseas.
There you go. Catch one of Carl's shows. They're very good. Very funny. Alex, what did you make of the performance overall against Norwich? They had some chances, didn't they? You know, they, if you like XG, I think there's about 0.53, ours was about 7.87, and we scored 3 goals, but it didn't, I felt comfortable in it, did you?
Yeah, I mean, you keep seeing moments. They had, I mean, 2 very, very good chances, and they started off early with a very good chance. I've seen some people say that, you know, we didn't play particularly well, but I didn't feel that at the time, and as you know, I go very much off of feeling with the football, and I felt like we were doing all right, and you keep seeing more moments like the Everton game, for example. I saw bits and pieces of what we were trying to do, and that final ball didn't come, and it was very frustrating. And although watching it at home, I'm sure it was annoying, but actually in the stand, everyone was really positive at that, even after that result, which we probably should have won. And then as the games have gone on, you keep, well, apart from Mirror, obviously, but you keep seeing more and more of those moments that are good and that are progressive and that look like they've been planned and worked on. And we keep seeing more and more of those each game. And the Norwich game was no was no exception to that, and it got better as the game went on. And you know, I roared when that first goal went in. I haven't done that for so long.
Yeah.
And really enjoyed it. Really, really enjoyed it. Oliver Skip was like, it was a bit of me. Everything I love about football is exactly what Oliver Skip did in that game. It was just brilliant. I really enjoyed it. And this is what comes when you have a manager who has a personality of his own. You know, part of the game, part of the narrative of the game is what Conte's doing, what he's reacting to, how he's reacting. And that helps a club like Tottenham. I've said that before. You know, I haven't been on the main pod for a while, but I've said on Five Statements a few times that we're a club that needs a manager like that.
Yeah.
And a manager that does it in the right way. And Mourinho didn't do it in the right way. Nuno didn't do it at all. And now we have a manager that does, and it's a big effect on us. But no, I thought I felt comfortable throughout. I thought we might, you know, I still thought we could concede. But I always thought, yeah, I mean, we'll be all right.
Just going on to Conte for a second, because I want to come back to Skip and get your thoughts on him, Carl. But the way Conte speaks, and I know Pochettino is a time past, and it's an era of that's gone by, and we just sort of need to park it there probably until forever. But the way Conte conducts himself, he just kind of hits the right tones, doesn't he? Yeah. The right notes, rather. And in the same way that Pochettino used to, but when he was like, there was his reaction to his response to the fans singing his name. What he said, I'm gonna fuck this up. I haven't got his direct quote in front of me, but
he said, the accent, are you?
No, I won't do the accent. But he goes, "We're no, I won't." he goes, "One day, I hope that I will have earned those chants." And you're like, "Mate, you're fucking Conte."
That's nice.
But he's in it. It's perfect. He doesn't have to say that. He could say, "Oh, it's nice to say," but he just gets the right. He says the right things, and it means nothing, right? But it means everything at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. But it meant it always does, and it's part of the sort of the romance of it, innit? You know, we had it with when Nuno came in, he's talking about making us proud. We're like, that's all we want. You know, you can't help but buy into it because you're invested in it.
Bullshit,
but he's also very good.
What a liar. What an absolute liar.
Yeah, sick of it. Can't believe I fell for that.
Exactly. We fell for it again.
But it happens. Yeah, it happens every time. But yeah, like with Conte, at least when he says it, you know, with his history and what he's done, it does obviously come with a bit more clout. And obviously that happened. Mourinho had clout as well, but, you know, he's obviously much further down the line and he's got more history now of his history is tarnished by his most recent behaviour. Conte's still solid as a rock.
Poisonous creep, wasn't he?
Yeah. Whereas, look what's happening now. It's happening again. Everyone, like, you know, I think even Spurs fans were like, look what we've done to him almost.
Somehow this is our fault.
Yeah, we feel like our club is cursed. So like Mourinho is obviously he's on a downward trajectory, I think. But we felt like no one could come in and do a job at ours. I do feel like we think we're cursed. But actually now I think at Roma and it's... I think we do need somebody who's got a very different way of doing things to make us work. Because I do think we've gone into a bit of a rut. And there's a bit of rot in the club, in the team, in the squad. So actually, Conte seems to have the head for it. And I know it's early days, but you know he's admitting how big the problem is. He's chopping and changing, and he is doing in-game management that we just haven't seemed to have for ages. So
it's obviously, the passion.
That feeling of like, no, but let's change it now, quick. Mm. Like, you know, he's very decisive, and that's what you want from your manager, isn't it? It gives you hope.
I like I quite find it quite funny, the whole, like, you know, how is Spurs going to break this next? I'm not taking responsibility for Jose fucking Mourinho. It was evident from the start, absolute scumbag. I don't even want to talk about him. Pick a different subject, Fav, quick, before I get upset.
Okay, we can talk about Conte looking like an absolute psychopath. Like, the way he looks at you and stares, or he's staring at the journalist when he's... you know, he's been asked a question and he's absorbing every word. But I can imagine he might have killed someone in his life, right? And hid it and kept it under wraps. And he's that much of a psycho that he's been able to just get on with it and sort of reconcile it in his brain. He's killed a man, but no one knows, so it's fine. Don't know if you've ever thought that about him.
I've never got that really, right. No. I don't think he's quite an intense guy.
Let's talk about Skip again, because second week on the bounce was the man of the match. Alex talked about how, everything that he wants in a midfielder. I think it's everything that we all want, and it's just another one of those things where I think most of us probably looked at him and thought, yeah, he's got something, but he's not good enough for Tottenham.
Well, I said it. We had five statements, didn't we? Then I said, look, you know, I'm not sure he's ever going to be, you know, an N'Golo Kante type, even that level. But, you know, he will have a level, and it's up to us to get the most out of it. And even that game on Sunday, and I know it's Norwich and all the caveats that come with that.
And Brentford, but, to be fair.
Yeah, but...
Same caveats.
He looked like he stepped up a level. And it does look like if he keeps getting better and better at the things that he does well, then he'll be a very, very useful player for us. I mean, I think he did it three times, that kind of slide tackle, you know, either reaching a ball on the side or reaching a kind of a 50-50 or a 60-40, reaching it, but not just kind of going straight through someone, which I love. But, you know, he was wrapping himself around, getting the ball and getting it to another player, all within one tackle and one motion. I honestly, I'm so fucking erect every time he did that. It's just brilliant.
But what I like about him, that I think a lot of us, when he started playing, even this season, obviously he went away and he had a lovely season in the Championship, but, you know, when he came back, I still think we all were fearful that we've got another Winks on our hand. And that's not, I'm not digging Winks out, but what I mean is his top level is not going to be a world-class midfielder, right? You know, and sometimes he's good at holding up the ball. He's comfortable on it. But a lot of what he does is he picks it up, does a few turns, and then passes it backwards, isn't it, or sideways.
But whereas, even in this game, he drove forward a couple of times early has. In the first half.
He seems a bit more confident to actually wait until he's got an option going forward rather than do a few turns and then go backwards. Like
that's,
with
that's
Winks, it always feels
that's
like
exactly your word.
He doesn't have enough time. In his mind, whereas Skip, and again, we might be getting ahead of ourselves, but he looks like one of them footballers who makes a bit of time for himself, which is always, that's always a sign of a good player, I think.
And he goes, and he's decisive as well. So like in that run in the first half, you know, he decided he was going to go and he went. So it wasn't like what you sometimes saw with Winks and probably even Tom Carroll, where it was like a couple of steps, then have a look, see if there's something he could do. Okay, well, I'll go a little bit more then. And then to see if there's anything else he could do. Skip was okay. Well, I'm driving forward now. This is what I'm going to do.
And he's a bit beefier as well. He's got a bit more to him, isn't he? You know what I mean? He doesn't look like he's going to get pushed around as much.
I think that bit where he bombed forward was a really important moment for us, and you know, for what our intent might be, and it showed that Skip has that in their locker. I'd imagine that the game plan from Norwich and Brentford wasn't to stop Skip's marauding runs through their entire midfield. Yeah. It's not something that we've seen that often. He's comfortable. His willingness to carry the ball. He's adventurous in his passing, which Winks isn't. And I'm comparing him because it's fair to compare them, I think.
I think it's a young English midfielder who's playing a similar position, isn't it?
So, yeah, and asked to do similar things.
Yeah.
And he's passing going forward. But the most important thing was like intent. And you know, when you ask, we want our player to make an impression on the game.
Yeah. Right?
That was him doing that as a 21-year-old kid, nowhere near the most experienced member of the team. It was in that moment he was like, no, we're taking this to Norwich. Not that it wouldn't have come anyway, because you'd expect that with the quality of our players. But I was really impressed by that moment. And then he went on to have an excellent game.
There's a great clip as well of him kind of retrieving the ball. I think it was the second half.
Alexa, stop
retrieving the ball.
Apologies.
Retrieving the ball on the halfway line and kind of turning a couple of times, trying to look for options, coming back inside, taking the ball back outside again, put his foot on the ball, still looking for options. And he's kind of like quite busy and buzzing around whilst Højbjerg's kind of just stood there.
And
that's what you need, but you need that with
and he does the exact thing of like He doesn't do that a few times and then go, well, there's nowhere to go. I'll just pass it back to someone, like, let somebody else deal with it. He actually waits until he sees something that can actually move the ball forward, which is refreshing, to say the least, isn't it?
Conte's talking about being, if he continues to listen to me, and that he can turn him into, and well, I think the words were world class. I don't know if I might be putting those in because I want to hear that, but he was really talking him up. And if he continues on this rise, like, we've got a player from who was playing on Norwich on loan, who had a great season, but we probably thought he'd be a squad player at best, to having a midfielder that could be intrinsic to any success we have this season and beyond.
And you know what the other point of this is, really, is one thing that can't be ignored as well. This is another player now that is coming into our first team that, like you say, could end up being, you know, it quite likely become intrinsic from a product from our youth development, which has been hugely invested in, which is sometimes kind of battered away. You know, we've all talked about Levy and our own thoughts, particularly over the last 12 months. But you can't deny that Oliver Skipp is a product of that investment in a part of the club that is away from what we see every week and what, you know, we're deemed to think not to care about. so some credit deserves from there. And that's what we all want. We all want youth team players being able to come through and do really well. Most of the time we get more excited about positions like wingers and strikers and stuff because, you know, that's easy stuff to get excited about. But he's a combative, resourceful, recycling midfielder. So for him to be impressing on the wider fan base, he's having to do very, very well. Not just all right, very, very well.
Alex, where are you at with Ben Davies currently? Because you've had a checkered past with him, haven't you? Your opinions of him. Like, you hated him. Then he came back and you've had to apologise to him, I think, on the podcast.
Yeah.
And then you hated him again because he's formed... Well, it fell off a cliff. And then he played well again, and I think you apologised again. No. And then you said, I think there was one more time. Then you said, all right, that's it. I've made up my mind. I hate his guts. I'm always going to hate his guts. And there's nothing can change. Right now, are you going to, for the third time, apologise to Ben Davies?
Well, I'm not going to apologise for calling him out on shite. So I feel like he's my son. And this is very much how my father treated me when it came to football. You know, if I had a good game, he'd pick me up. If I didn't, I walked home. So that, you know, that's there's no difference. So when he's playing well, I'm here for it. When he's not, get out of my life. He's a very, very poor left back. The truth is, he's a very, very poor left back. And I said at the time, even in that 16 season, when he ended up playing more than Danny Rose, I was convinced that if we had a fit Danny Rose, that we could do better as a backup than Ben Davies. And I still believe that's the truth. He had a very, very good run of about 4 or 5 months and did very well. And I was forced to, like you say, apologize on the pod and was like, but I apologized of my own accord and was because I was enjoying what I was watching. And then I wasn't enjoying what I was watching because he was a shite left back, which he is. But as it's turning out, as part of this back three so far, he's been absolutely incredible. And I said after the Everton game, I said in our group, I said, Ben Davies has been fantastic today. You know, I watched him as well because there was a lot of talk about, you know, one of the three Conte centre-backs being the one to kind of push on and try and join an attack or start an attack. And I thought that would be Romero, and we didn't really see much of that at Everton. But Ben Davies, I watched him, and he was trying to do that. He did it a couple of times, was a bit tentative a couple of times, went to go and then maybe checked himself. But you could see that he was obviously listening to instructions and wanting to do it. And I enjoyed that. And then in the Brentford game, he was fantastic. And yesterday, he was even better. And I really, really enjoyed... My two favourite performances yesterday were Skip and Ben Davies. And I've got no qualms whatsoever in saying that. I'm not going to apologise because I've got nothing to apologise for. But
I think you should.
He's doing very well. And I'm really enjoying watching him. And I hope he keeps doing it. And he will fast become... If he keeps doing it and plays in that back three and doing what he's doing, he will fast become... one of the most enjoyable players I will enjoy watching.
I think you should apologise.
For what, though?
I just think you should. You shouldn't be able to enjoy him. You know, love him at his worst as well as his best. You know
well,
I mean?
No, he's not. No, this he's not. He's not my girlfriend. Like people post that, you'll be amazed on like Tinder profiles and stuff. Oh, if you can't handle me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best. Bollocks! Because if you're going to smack me over the head with a pan when I'm not looking, that's not fair.
That's not fair.
Yeah.
I don't. I've got to say that if I, you know, if you're on a not that I would be on Tinder, but if I was single, if that's something I was doing, and I read a bio that says if you can't take me at my worst, then you can't have me at my best. Alarm bells are ringing because you're not setting yourself up. You're selling yourself really because
no,
you're basically saying
you want to sell yourself on consistency.
Yeah, everyone's lying at the beginning. Don't give me reality,
no one
right?
And I get that. No one tells the truth. Like the first line of my Tinder bio isn't "I've got a belly on me." You know, it's you know, "Do you want to play with my dog?" So it's, I'm not going to apologise for him being poor. That's on him. If anyone, he should be apologising to me, saying, "Ow, I know how much you love endeavour and you know determination and someone improving. I'm sorry it's taken me this long to force my way into this position to do it. You know, so thank you for not hitting me over the head with a pan. You know, this is for you, Al.
You do strike me as a man that like has got with a woman and then after a year she's put a bit of timber on and you're like, well, I didn't sign up for that. That's what the principles you've just laid out before us.
Well, no, because I was talking about myself when it came to a belly. You know, I'm not apologising to Ben. If anything, he should be
apologising to you. Yes. It's not his fault that he's a shit left back, is it, though? Because if he's getting asked to play there, then he's got to do his best. But what we do have currently is a system that suits him perfectly. And it's not just a defending. Like, cause I think the most we could expect from Ben Davies would be, I'd just be solid at the back. Just do that bit. And then we'll forgive you. You know, that will be enough, right? Be a 6 out of 10 at the back, that's fine. But he's doing so much more than that. He's understood his role as one of these overlapping centre backs perfectly. The amount of times, and it's going to be really important when breaking teams down, because the better we get and the more of an attacking force we become, you know, inevitably when teams come to our lane, as we saw under Pochettino, that they sit back and they dig in. And you're going to need to overload in places. And if Ben Davies can do that, it's in the same way with Skip and Dyer as well, who's shown in the first part of Conte's life at Spurs to be an improved centre-back. And it's not
he really has. And do you know what the mark of that of Eric Dyer is as well, is that none of us are talking about him.
Yeah,
that's the biggest thing you can pay him, to be honest.
Did a great interview the other day in the Daily Mail. I don't know if you read it, but it was really, really good, really honest. But ultimately, a lot of it was about immigration and how he thinks there should be less of it. And
he hated that.
He's getting down at Dover every day, shouting at the lilies.
screaming at the channel. Just hoping that with a pellet. No, he was just talking about, a large part of it was about Conte and what he's bringing in and stuff. But what was interesting about Dyer's performance is that the improvements in these players it might be a coincidence if one player improves and hits a bit of a purple patch, but you've got Ben Day Frank, fuck off. Oh, sorry, my dog's going through. Get away.
I thought it was an immigrant.
Yeah, called Frank. He's go away. Sorry, that was very good podcasting, was it? What was I saying? But you've got three players that have improved, are improving at the same time. And not just improving,
I think it was like Dyer and Davies, I think, are two examples of players who every manager who's come to us, Poch and in between, even interim, like Ryan Mason, that I think they all like that. I think in whatever we don't see in training, I think they're two very good footballers that managers really go, right, there is something there that is gold. But I just think they often maybe are mismanaged and it doesn't translate fully on the pitch. And that's why we all see the shit and we're like, they're fucking rubbish, mate. Because I, you know, no manager has ever tried to get rid of either of them two. Do you know what I mean? They've come in and gone, they're not going to make the grade. Other players who we all think, like Ndombele, they're going to be the best, right? Managers to see it and go, like, you know, Conte's just gone, nah, I'm not trusting that. You know, whereas actually someone like Dier and Davis, I think, have better football in head. And I do think managers see what we don't. And it takes the right managers to make us see what and they see.
It's not just a faith. Sorry, Al, not just a faith that the players have in him, but as fans, the faith we have in him already is that there was no chance that no other manager would have been given free rein to not play Ndombele in a single minute in the Premier League. We'd all be going, even if it was just people just going, come on, get Ndombele in, but show us something. Like, he's good enough to be in there. Like you just said, oh, Ndombele's great. We trust in him because of his pedigree and because of the upturn in results to keep playing the same team over and over again, even though on paper it doesn't look the most exciting. It was just like, well, if Conte says this is fine, then this is fine.
Mm. Yeah. I think, and also as much as it is, obviously, there's going to be a huge amount down to systems and stuff, because obviously Ben Davis is proof of that. But also there's different players that need certain types of managers. You know, some players play better when they've been given an element of responsibility. Some players play better with an arm around the shoulder. And as much as you'll hear lots and lots of talk about Conte and systems and being able to release the best potential of certain players because of a system that we're playing, you can't diminish how much of an effect there will be just from of certain players always upturned with different managers because of the type of person that manager is. You know, we saw it with Harry Redknapp. You know, you had Harry Redknapp bring in, you know, incredible performances out of people like Tom Huddleston and Pavlyuchenko and people like that. I do think that that's a big part down to it. Dier and Davis in particular strike me as players that thrive off of having some responsibility within the team, saying, look, you're here now. This is your position for right now, and I need you to do X, Y, and Z, and you need to do it well. And I just don't think we've had that for a long time. I don't think we really... I think, you know, to be fair, under Dier, you know, with Dier, I think he's played well through the majority of the Nuno spell as well.
I think he's
got gradually better at centre-half as time's gone on. You know, you think of him now as a midfielder, and if he suddenly, say Højbjerg had to go off when he had his knocker, you know, in there, and, you know, had made, you know, no midfielders on the bench, and someone said, right, Dier's going to move into midfield, I think, oh, fucking hell. When really, you think, you know, when he was in his pomp, you know, in United, putting bids in for him stuff, that's exactly where he was playing. It's mad now to think back to that. But, as much as you'll hear about systems with Conte, it's a massive part, I think, down to there'll be certain players that react to different types of individuals that they have as their manager.
Should we answer some questions, boys?
Yeah. Let's.
I must have said, nah, should we just call it there? Come on, let's go. James Denton, he says, is the resurgence of Dier and Davies causing the potential spend in January to end more focused on other areas of the squad? This was a priority pre-Conte, but it's looking less likely like a problem area now. Great question, because...
I hope not, because I think, you know, as much as Ben Davis is doing well... You know, think of us in the last kind of 18 months in terms of centre-halves. I think we've just been begging for any type of consistency. And I'm not saying he's not doing well, but that's an area that can be improved on. I don't think there's any doubt about that, really.
What it might do, though, is mean we don't panic buy some or overspend. Like, you know, it's that thing, we'll look, and if there's someone genuinely that fits the bill and it could work, you know, go for it. But I don't think we'll see some rash decisions.
I think we'll see more of a priority for someone to go in next to Skip.
Yes.
I think it's about options, really. The fact that he's played the same team, barring injury or illness, those are the players he trusts at the moment to get.
And you've also heard him suddenly start talking about Bergwijn possibly being able to play as a number nine. So
I don't hate that idea, by the way. Yeah. I don't know why. No. All I'm saying, firstly, if Conte says it, then sort of whatever, fine. But I can. He could potentially adopt the sort of Jermaine Defoe style of leading the line.
And I agree. I just hope that
that isn't the answer.
I don't think there's any been promises broken. I'm not saying anything like that, but I do hope that it's not just a question of, you know, Antonio, can you muddle through January and we promise you bucket load in the summer. I just hope that that's really not the case, which I am worried that that is the case.
There was news this morning. I read that there have been, it was Football Insider. I don't know what kind of tiered source he or she is or that website is, but the byline had a little photo of the person who wrote the article, so that must mean something. They said that there will be 10 incomings and outgoings in January. That might be 7 players out and 3 in, but there's going to be activity. We have a pipeline of transfers that we're looking to get done in January. Ten in and out in January is a lot.
Yeah, I think we'll see a lot of loans out, and I think that's good. You know, I think, you know, we've all talked about Dele. I think Dele will need to be one of the ones that goes. You know, imagine the wages. I mean, we're not going to be able to get anyone that pays full wages, but, you know, people like Dele, you know, and Ndombele probably as well. Yeah. You know,
out on loan.
I can see him going out on loan in January. Yeah, he's not used a minute of him though. Do you know what I mean? So. If he was coming on for the last 10 minutes of games when you're 3-0 up, I'd maybe think, maybe. But he's not.
He is good, though, isn't he? We don't want him to go. We don't want a player of his quality.
No, I just don't. I think we have to get to a point now. I'm at a point with Ndombele now where I think, I don't think it's going to work. There's already been stuff and then out. You know, Conte said what he said. And also, there was bits and pieces coming out yesterday about, you know, went to go and warm up, you know, for that last 15-20 minutes, and he was kind of just walking up and down the side, and, you know, that was something that actually was physically out there and people talking about it. And I don't know, I just, you know,
sounds like you're fumbling towards he's got a bad attitude.
No, I'm not. I just think it's one of those things with a good player at perhaps the wrong club, and I just think whether we do it now or whether we hold on for another year, I think we're going to get to the same position. So why not just do it for the benefit of him? He seems like a really nice young man, and he's obviously not particularly happy because he's wanted to go twice now, you know, and I think we're at that point where you just say, okay, you know, look, let's try and do something that works for everyone. You know, Spurs can move on. Unfortunately, it's not worked when it should have. And, you know, perhaps we're just not the club for him, and I'm sure he'll go on to another club somewhere else in Europe and do wonderful, wonderful things.
Sounding like a bit of a racist to me, Alex. So you're saying. Yeah. Okay, what have we got else here? Ryan Sessegnon's.
He looked all right, innit?
Did look all right.
That was a real surprise to me, because I've been totally unconvinced by anything he's done since he came. And I just thought that he's just one of them ones that was quite an exciting young player, just couldn't step up. And actually, that's the first time I've watched him and gone, oh, I reckon, you know, there's something there.
I really wasn't impressed.
I was basing it in my comparing him to what I think of him previously. Yeah. So I suppose it was, you know, it's not hard for him to impress if when I've always thought he just was not very good.
Alex is just looking the colour of his skin again.
I love the fact that. Yeah.
Come on, what do you think of Tanganga, mate? That's probably not a fan, guys.
No, I'm just not a fan. Doesn't really.
I mean, to be honest, the fact that, you know.
I don't know what it is about Sessegnon, because, you know, what we saw at Fulham was the majority of stuff that I remember from the film was him going forward. Mm. And he does strike me as someone that looks like he really does need he's an arm around the shoulder type of player where, you know, you build him up and you build him up and he'll get better and better. So I've still got hope for Sessegnon, but I was a little bit lukewarm. I wasn't disappointed, that was probably a bit strong, but I was a bit lukewarm with the fact that he had 70 minutes and did what he did against a team like Norwich when you're winning, not comfortably, but, you know, we were in control. Despite what the commentators were like, I don't know what stream you watched on, but the commentators I was listening to was absolutely unbelievable. I think they would have died of just pure ecstasy if Norwich had scored. I was maybe a little bit lukewarm.
Maybe Sessegnon felt like he was just getting outshone by Ben Davies is this marauding left-sided centre-back who's not only a centre-back but an auxiliary left winger. He was just like, every time he got the ball, he was like, oh, Ben Davies there again, fucking hell. But look, he came on, it was like a like for like. I had no worries as soon as he came on, and he didn't disappoint. There's a couple of good moments. He showed a little bit of skill, but you know, it might take him time to get up to speed. Yeah. And you know, he has been out injured for a long time, and then he spent a year in Germany, didn't he? So he's never had an opportunity to sort of grow roots at the club. And yeah, as a squad player, if Ben Davies is going to be playing as a centre back, then we're going to need him to be there. And Damo says, should Skip be due an England call up soon?
I wouldn't be surprised, but you know, it tends to happen, isn't it? You know, we're one of them clubs where at the moment we get a decent player who's for an English player, they do tend to get a bit of a quicker run into the England team than some other clubs, isn't it?
Yeah, if he was playing for Brentford, he would never get in there.
No,
I hope he doesn't, because I don't. You know, this is a massive year for Oliver Skip, and he needs as much time with Antonio Conte as possible, and as least time with Gareth Southgate as humanly possible.
He's a good coach. He's a good coach, but you're right.
Spend that much time with him, a couple of weeks here and there ain't going to hurt, surely.
Rubbish, Gareth Southgate. They just like him. That's ridiculous.
That is ridiculous. He's got a sort of final and semi-finals in the last two tournaments.
I'm with Bardi. He's fucking useless.
You're insane. You're idiots. But you're right though in terms of what saying like Skip's in terms of the benefit of Spurs that we get nothing from him going to England. That you don't. I still do to a certain degree feel pride when I see our players play for England, but that's kind of it. Just watch, it look at it and go, that's quite nice.
The, that period time, where we had loads of them. I thought that was quite a nice thing.
That's true. I remember thinking that was quite nice when there was like six of them on the pitch.
What was Winks, Mason? Was Mason one of them?
Ali. Yeah, I remember that kind, but I think that was just because, like, fucking hell, this is like practically Spurs.
Half the team.
It's more than half the team, so it means I'm watching Tottenham right now.
And then people were calling for them like all to start. They were like, it will give us a sense of sort of, you know, continuity. Obviously, it's better easy for an international team to gel if most of them play together. So to have other team fans say that, you're like, yeah, boy.
That's... I'm probably biased. I detest international football with almost every fibre of my being. I watched that Euro final through gritted teeth, hoping that we'd lose. Because I was just like,
you're fucking mad. You are. Yeah. You say some mental.
I don't know what it is. I know. I'm not pretending it's big or clever. I just hate it so much.
But just keep it to yourself. Other people enjoying it.
I know. I'm not saying anyone should.
Well, you are. You're looking down on us for liking our country.
Well, I do that for other reasons, not because of you liking your country.
Getting back to the point, a good point you made, Alex, is the. Is the fact that as much time as he can spend with Conte, especially when there are international breaks, where there isn't necessarily a game to focus on, and Conte can, I'd imagine, just look at his individual performances and impart knowledge, because they played in a similar situation. Conte, if I remember rightly, was a defensive midfielder that could play football, and that's not dissimilar to Skip's position.
I want him there during international break, because I imagine like a Rocky training montage between the two of them, like making Skip chase chickens and stuff. That's what I want.
Also, the midfield of England is stacked at the moment. Very difficult for him to get in. Mayfield Shags, he says...
Shagster.
He's a shaggy top shagger. He says, is Lucas the best bald player to ever play for Tottenham? That's a great question.
Other
notable bald players? Brad Friedel.
Oh, yeah.
Alan Hutton.
Alan Hutton.
Dyer shaved his head a couple of times, but he's not bald, is he? Lucas is bald.
I'd say yeah. I loved his goal. Honestly,
his goal was dirty, wasn't it?
It was fucking brilliant. I was straight in our group saying, don't you slap my boy again.
The best thing about that goal wasn't... I mean, obviously the strike was incredible, but the build-up play was unreal, and all of that was him as well.
I really like him. I get the point. You know, I've listened to like the guys at the Extra Inch, and they've got a good point. Like, sometimes he's like our biggest asset, but also our biggest flaw. as well at times, and I have some sympathy for that thinking. But at times, like when he's doing what he's doing, particularly against teams like Norwich, just let him do what he does, and just enjoy it. I mean, that goal was something to be enjoyed, and I loved it.
The timing of it as well was brilliant, because you were just kind of. I was speaking to Windy beforehand, and obviously I trust his opinion on football, and he said, look, if Norwich aren't as, they're not going to be a pushover, they're much more defensively sound than people believe them to be, but if we score early, then it could be a rout, and we scored early, and it wasn't just like a fumbling over line, it was an absolute quality goal and a screamer. Yeah. And not the first time we've seen such an important or well put together goal under Conte.
I really like him because I just think I think Lucas is one of those players you just have to accept that he does this really well and he does this really poorly. And that's not going to change now.
Yeah. I think the reason when he has a bad game, he basically looks like a headless chicken, innit? So people do think, oh, he's crap. But actually, he's always trying to do stuff. That's one thing I think, and especially like for us in the last, 18 months or 2 years, bloody hell, we've been pretty blunt, and it's been thankless watching us not go forward. I've always thought I'd rather a player who at least tries to go forward when he gets the ball, even if every few games he's a bit shit and is a bit wasteful and a bit clumsy. But at least you've got somebody who's got a bit of endeavour to him, innit? And I think he's always had that. I've always thought I'd rather him start than a lot of players, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't know if anyone else knows it, but he looked like he had the ump yesterday. Like, after his goal, wasn't a massive celebration. He came out for half-time and he was kind of talking to himself a lot. And I don't know whether he does that all the time. Maybe that's just something I've not seen.
I didn't notice that.
He did look a bit like as if he was pissed off about something. I don't know.
Sanchez did after he scored. He looked like he hated everybody and everything about Tottenham.
Sanchez's celebration was brilliant as well.
What?
Sanchez's celebration was just...
Well, it wasn't one.
Loved it, I know. Just kind of like bang, die on the chest. Like, what? You said I was shit, did you?
Yeah, well, like, we all said
he was good. I mean, he was good. You've got to give him some credit.
I'm sure he picks up on the fact that everybody hates his guts.
I don't. I've backed Dave.
Oh, come on. Backed him for what? Back him to do what? What's he going to do?
I think there's lots of players that get given some stick about or get given some sympathy of the fact of, well, he's been put in this position and this system and it kind of accentuates his flaws because of this. And I feel like Sanchez is one of those, but doesn't really get that kind of let off at times. And all right, he might not be as good as perhaps, particularly Bardi, and I thought he was going to be, but...
Who was you going to say?
Well, no, I was just going to say, I
think Bardi, I don't want to throw Bardi under the bus here, but he did say, once that Sanchez it has the potential to be better than Ledley King. I think he said that.
Yeah. But.
Did he say it, or I just made it up?
No, I think that's probably true. And I think that's evidently not the case. But.
He's going to be fuming this internet.
I don't get as wound up about Sanchez as I do about other players. I feel like he does get an extra little bit of vitriol that sometimes isn't deserved.
Okay, fair enough. We've got a question from Paddy. He says, is Lucas Moura better than Andros Townsend?
Yes, of course he is.
Yeah, I think he is.
I'm better than Andros Townsend.
That's not true. But given the fact what he's done, like the goals he scored, not even talking about the Champions League final, Carl, I'm just talking about, I mean, he scored the Camp Nou to put us through.
Yeah.
He scored a headed goal away at Manchester City when we drew 2-2 on Pochettino's final season. He scored goals at United. I get he frustrates and he sometimes flatters to deceive, but there isn't a player who gives more consistently.
No, I agree. That's why I always am happy to see him start him. Even when he's gone through periods where people have been digging him out.
The amount of games he played, particularly under Mourinho, he played like every game. He's very rarely injured. I can't remember. Out of a team for longer than a couple of weeks max.
Unless it's injury, yeah. And there isn't a manager we've had that doesn't pick him.
Exactly.
Even Pochettino relied on him over and over again. Like you said, Jose Mourinho played him every week. He played in every one of Nuno's teams, I think.
I think we as a club are in a position at the moment, coming out of Pochettino's peak, we were able to be like, he's not good enough. That's, we can invest in that, we can improve on that to go and win this or win that. Now we're in a position where we just want to get back to where we were at that point. And we're going to have to accept that there's going to be some players that can do this, like I said earlier, can do X, Y, and Z very well, and perhaps don't do A, B, and C as well. And we just have to accept that and try and find a way of playing that accentuates as much of those positives for those players as possible. You know, Ben Davis is one of them where it's working. Lucas is another one where I feel like it probably is working a little bit. You know, Kane's struggling at the moment. I thought, you know, Son did all right yesterday, but I've still, again, he's another one where I came away a little bit lukewarm on him, but we know Son is a little bit streaky at times. You know, so, but there are these players that are going to have these peaks and troughs, because that's the type of position we are in as a club right now. And can you invest and improve on those? Absolutely. And hopefully that's what will happen in the summer for a more permanent basis. But for now, this season is about as winning as many games as we can, however we do it, with whoever we do it with, and just getting it done, because we need to be back. You know, we've got a really good opportunity to get fourth this year, and we have to try and take it. And worrying about can we invest in that, can we do better on that, it's not the time right now. Just get this season done.
If we somehow creep into fourth this season, unreal, wouldn't it, Carl? I mean, beyond our wildest.
It's a funny thing, you know. We have overblown how bad our season's been. Obviously, we have, because you can see where we are. We've only won three league matches since Conte came in. So it's not like, you know, we were somehow not. We just were playing so crap, and we lost a few key games we shouldn't have, that made it feel so much worse than it was on paper. And, you know, so...
Well, we did have that one month that was probably the worst month that we've had in a decade. But you're right, yeah, that if you take that middle month out, it's not probably not as bad.
Because we started well as well, obviously. So it is that thing of... It's not out of the question if Conte can maintain this good start and actually... You know, get him up and running in the system he wants with a bit of consistency and capitalise on the good start. You know, it's not out of the question. It's really funny that everyone's been wanking off West Ham all season and we're like 2 points behind them with a game in hand. Everyone's just saying, shit, we are. And West Ham are the best fucking team outside Man City, Liverpool and all that. It's like, shut up.
No, I genuinely believe that we are... Yeah, because we need to wait and see what Ranić does with United, and you know if we take it on face value, he will improve them and make them more consistent. So I genuinely believe out of it, you know, it's us and United, and you look at those other teams, Arteta, you know, Arsenal will, you know, have had a decent run recently, but they'll go up and down because it's them. Of course they will. Leicester, are, you know, you never know what you're quite going to get. And West Ham are doing well, but again, they are the type of squad. They're still in Europe. A couple of injuries will do them. And I genuinely think that we are probably, as of right now, the best prepared team to finish fourth. As of right now, I don't think it's like an outside chance. And that's bang in it.
Down to Conte as well, just to having him here. And having him there and just relying on the fact that you know, that he is everything we know him to be or hope for him to be, and. For that reason, we probably are at least on an equal footing with West Ham right now, because despite it being West Ham, and it will inevitably go tits up for them. It's just how and when. It might not be this season. Like, if they're going to keep that squad together this season for sure, and then next season it's a different beast, right? But it's us, them, and United, and Arsenal as it stands. But like you say, Alex, out of the four, I'd rather be in our position probably than any others. Ragnik, we don't know much about him. He spent most of his career as a director of football. I know he managed Leipzig and did pretty well with Leipzig, but so did Hasenhüttl. We should be optimistic. We should be looking forward and upwards rather than anywhere else. We've got a question from Hotspur Edition, and he says, go and follow Hotspur Edition, by the way. It's a good little news Twitter feed. Go and give him a follow. He says, are we winning the league this year or next year?
Next year.
Is there a world where if the investment comes in and Conte gets what he needs, and I don't know what that means, that we could challenge for the league next year, or is it just too early to say?
I think it's too early to say.
I think we can challenge, absolutely. I have no doubt whatsoever that if Conte gets what he wants, then we can challenge, absolutely. Will we win it? That's a very different conversation. But
a challenge is fine.
The difference. But yeah, but that's the difference a manager like Conte brings. That's what he's in for. You know, that's the extra couple of percentage points that you get from having a manager like that. So if you can get the other bits of percentage points that you need from investment and the right players, then absolutely you can challenge without a doubt. That's not even a question in my mind. The question will be, can we win it? And that's a much, much harder thing to get around. And I would still probably say no. But can we challenge? Absolutely. No doubt in my mind.
Okay, and let's finish on this from Fat Tez. It says, if you were on a 2-year space mission to establish a new colony on Mars, which current Spurs players would you have on this ship? Which current Spurs players would you have on this ship?
Who would you have?
I take Skip. I take Hugo.
Hugo would be good. He'd be good company, I reckon.
So there's noise this week about Laurie's potentially signing a new contract, which isn't something I'd ever.
It should be absolute that if we can't get him on another year, I mean, he might have made a decision for himself and
yeah, it'll be that
way. Know, how long he's been here and family and wanting to go back to France. Maybe I don't know, but yeah, there's no doubt in my mind that we should be trying to tie him down for another year.
At least one more year, and I wonder if by having Conte there and. You know, if you go by his track record, Conte doesn't stay longer than the mission is complete. Do you know what I mean? It's not. It doesn't feel like this Conte thing will last beyond a few years. And once he feels like he's done his job, he'll move on. Mm. But if it is a short-term thing and it's going to be quick and we're going to go after things and be aggressive in the transfer market, then Lloris, as a goalkeeper, can afford another year at Spurs. Like he can postpone his time. And we're not going to buy a better goalkeeper than him. We won't be able to find a better goalkeeper than him. What do you make of his time at Spurs? Because there were periods where he did get some stick. He did. Do you remember like the latter part of Pochettino's career?
Yeah,
where people were starting to go, oh, is he that good? Can we do better than him?
It's almost like the Moura thing, isn't it? He went through phases of being a bit inconsistent, but it wasn't his fault. You know what I mean? It's with the goalkeeper. It's unless they do an absolute howler, you've got to really sort of pass the blame over to the rest of the team, haven't you? Right. So I always thought it was a bit rich him getting some shit. And when we were playing crap and trying to pass it out from the back and just basically. He'd roll it out and it'd just get kicked across him a bunch of times and he'd boot it up and it'd be a moody kick. There was periods like where I think the way we were playing was making him look worse than he was. I think he saved us from so many losses.
I remember that one save against Leverkusen where the ball was going in, the ball got played across. Do you remember what I'm talking about? And he just put his hand down on the floor and stopped it. It was one of the best saves. Probably the best save I've ever seen from a Spurs goalkeeper.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, definitely from a Spurs goalkeeper.
Yeah.
It was incredible. Not the best save I've ever seen, but definitely from a Spurs player. But he's another one. You talk about, you know, when it was, you know, at Pochettino times and everyone thinking, well, is he for... I think we had that luxury to think like that at that time. Mm. And I think that's only
definitely.
Natural.
And we just and don't, since, just don't since have that then, luxury. He's... been a rock, you know, he saved us from a lot of embarrassment, I think.
Yeah, and the problem is that, you know, I remember a time where anytime we would go up against the top six, it was like, right, you know, we know what's going to happen here. Lloris error in the first 10 minutes, and then we'll play really well, but can't quite claw it back, you know, and those things happen. He's not perfect, of course.
He nearly fucked it up, didn't he, at the against Norwich, literally passed it to him. In that one instance in the first half, I'm not remembering.
Like I said, I mean, it happens. I mean, you saw, you know, it happens with every goalkeeper. De Gea makes errors on the regular now. You saw Mendy, you know, had a...
punch the ball into his own net. Yeah.
I mean, it happens. You know, if Fabianski for West Ham, you know, was probably disappointed with that second goal on Saturday as well. You know, so it happens. We have, you know, if you were to line the goalkeepers up in order of the best in the Premier League, he'd be third or fourth probably.
Okay, we've got last question, last one. Lee Ashford, he says, what is Oliver Skip's favourite type of pee? Now, I'm going to change that to something better.
Yeah.
What is Oliver Skip's favourite type of tea? What do you reckon he goes home and eats? Because there's no chance he's on one of those high nutrition diets.
No, I reckon he's a builder's tea guy. Absolutely. He feels a bit...
I don't mean tea, the drink.
Oh, you think dinner? You're talking dinner, more scope
with dinner, isn't he?
Oh, I mean, but it's still the same. Like, I think he's going to keep it. It's going to be old-fashioned, bangers and mash sort of. Toad in the hole. That's the sort of thing.
I reckon
it's that fish in white sauce in the bag.
Definitely. 100%. Poached, what is that again?
A poached bit of fish.
In a white sauce. I was always a fan of that.
Yeah, like a white wine sauce.
Yeah. I was growing up in the 80s. I was born in 86, and so late 80s, early 90s. You know, the joy of the microwave for the working parents. I could name you the week's dinner I would have had about
roast pie,
fish in white sauce microwave thing, Uncle Ben's sweet and sour out of a jar. And a spag bowl. And what was the other one that she used to always make? Oh, yeah, we went for a stage of having our own little packet of McCain microwave chips.
There was one where you'd put in a microwave and all the chips were in their own bits of square, their own segment. I don't know if you ever saw that. But I think Oliver Skip, his mum, he still goes home and has his mum cook his dinners.
Yeah.
And he has two fried eggs, chunky oven chips.
Yeah.
And obviously a bit of gammon. I've got a question for you. Is Oliver Skip the best thing to come out of Rice Lips since Speed?
Is that where it came out of? I didn't even know it was from Rice Lip.
I don't think he is. He just looks like he should. My brother Adam, it drives him up the wall. There's this running joke about Oliver Skip looking like he comes from Rice Lip. And my brother's from Rice Lip and he hates it. But it just pops into my head. He's got to be better than Speed. Speed's a bad drug, isn't it?
It's horrible.
It is horrible. I've had some bad experiences.
I've had it in Australia because it's basically back in the day when it's the only thing you can get over there. You can't really get stronger stuff, but it's hard to get over there due to the distance away from the countries that grow it.
Yeah,
it's very expensive. So everyone just does Speed. It's gross.
Oh God, that is gross.
I was told yesterday by a friend that they'd had a magic mushroom smoothie at the weekend.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that.
Yeah.
And how was it?
I'm sure they had a great time.
I don't think they had the best time, but down to them. I'm sure that's no mark on the quality of the mushrooms or the blender.
Well, we're not glorifying it. Like, you can have a bad time, a very bad time, or you can have a good time.
Yeah, it took me by surprise. Magic mushroom smoothie.
I think on that note, we'll end the podcast.
Nice note to end on.
Yeah, Carl, what is there anything, like, how do we find TVI? But that feels like the best thing to plug because...
It's on Apple and Spotify and all those ones. If you use an app for your podcast, it's on there. And we've recently whacked it on YouTube because we've gone into a studio. So we get video footage of it now, which we just whack on a little YouTube channel called TVI.
You've got Patreon as well, haven't you?
We have got a Patreon, which is where we normally basically do little extra episodes where we name people. Because normally we cut names out of stories because, you know, it's bad. You don't want people to have their dirty laundry aired unless people are paying for it.
Yeah, cool. You've got to pay. Yeah. And we always say that. It's like when I'm doing, we've got a Patreon as well. One of the good bit, oh, it's all good, but one of the bits that I enjoy most doing is the other podcast, which I do with my friend Lee. And he's just like, he's very open and tells these stories that you wouldn't freely tell people you didn't know. Like, even some of the stuff he says surprises me. But then when he's talking about it, you kind of then start giving up more than you feel like you should And then it kind of it becomes a bit of the downward spiral.
We sometimes forget that the patrons could just tell other people. Forget that it's not some sort of like secret room they can't get out of. They could they could also just record the audio and then put it public.
Of course.
We forget sometimes when we say something that could, you know,
be libelous.
Bad light. Yeah,
I should have saved the shit story for podcasts that are behind
it. Yeah, it would have
given that out to the plebs, mate.
Yeah, I'll subscribe to Patreon now and I'll name her straight away.
You'll name the hotel, you'll name her.
But you kind of talking then, he goes, "Ah, it's fine, it's behind a paywall. No one's good. Everyone who subscribes to the Fighting Cop Patreon becomes a part of the inner circle, and so is trust implicitly.
I do think there is like a circle of trust. Our patrons have never shared any of the information out of the circle of trust. It's lovely.
Oh yeah, I mean, our patrons has lived through my, the my marriage and divorce.
All right, I love you too, and we'll speak soon. This has been the Fighting Cop podcast, and up the Spurs.
Bye.
Bye.
It's the Fighting. It's the Fighting. Clock. It's the Fighting. It's the Fighting. Clock.
A camel turnip.
Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Sports Social Podcast Network. 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 Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.